Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rick Kreisman, and I have the privilege of being the mayor of this great city. But like cities across Florida, our city is under siege by bad proposed budgets and bad bills coming from both our nation's capital and our state's capital. But before we get to the bad, I want to highlight the good. I want to thank Lawrence and Joseph Elias for being so gracious by allowing us to be here today. My thanks to all who are standing with me today, members of our City Council, Deputy Mayor Tomlin, members of our city team, representatives from our state and federal legislative delegations, and engaged citizens like Deborah Figgs Sanders, who will be speaking shortly. This week, I signed on to a letter organized by the U.S. Conference of Mayors asking key U.S. senators to ensure it remains properly funded. As the letter states, CDBG is one of the most effective programs for growing local economies and for providing a lifeline to families and communities. That's how we make America first, and we've seen that right here in St. Petersburg. Now, I mentioned Deborah Figgs Sanders, and if I can embarrass her for a bit, tomorrow is her last day as executive director of Childs Park YMCA, and she caps off 7 remarkable years of leadership there. And thank you, Deborah. Our community is better and stronger because of her. Now, Donald Trump's budget is called America First, a budget blueprint to make America great again, but it does no such thing. It doesn't make America first, nor will it make America great again, especially as it relates to housing initiatives like the home program that has helped Dolores and Joseph. President Trump's budget will begin to erase the progress that we've already made in America, progress that is making us great, especially right here in St. Petersburg. And as I mentioned, his budget takes aim at community development block grants. And so to talk a little bit more about Trump's budget impact on housing is my friend and council vice chair, Lisa Wheeler Bowman. Lisa.
Thank you, Mayor. And I truly appreciate our mayor's leadership. I think that it's important that everyone understands what these programs mean to our city that the federal government is attempting to cut. The CDBG program grows local economies and improves the quality of life for low and moderate income citizens, such as ourselves. Every state, territory, and congressional district receives or has access to CDBG funding. And over 1,200 local jurisdictions receive annual allocation of these funds. In our city alone, CDBG funding has helped improve facilities that includes the renovations of child care, and it has even helped with the redevelopment of the historic Jordan Park Elementary School that now houses Head Start. It's even helped do the replacement of a roof for a facility that houses the elderly, and there's just too many other projects to name. These programs are vital to our community, and we need them. Our city receives home investment partnership funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And with that funding, we are able to provide rehabilitation of single-family owner-occupied homes. And we're standing right in front of one of those homes now that's owned by Dolores and Joseph Elias. The home program also authorizes local governments to provide tenant-based rental assistance. And during the past 5 years, our city has helped between 25 to 30 households annually who were either homeless or at the risk of becoming homeless to secure housing. The loss of these programs will be devastating, and not just to us, but to the efforts of struggling communities and neighborhoods throughout the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. As you know, fighting poverty has been a focus of my time as mayor, and we've made great strides. Jobs are up, and poverty is down. We are outpacing the nation, the state, the county, and big cities throughout Florida. And a lot of people that are standing up here with me deserve credit for this. It's been all hands on deck to create more opportunity for people in South St. Petersburg. And it's working. And when things are working, that's typically when the Florida legislature steps in to intervene. To talk about House Bill 13 and Senate Bill 1770, two bills that threaten not just our innovative South St. Pete community redevelopment area, but our downtown as well, is Deborah Figg Sanders, the vice chair of our CRA Citizens Advisory Committee. Deborah?
Good afternoon. The City of St. Petersburg has appointed a Citizen Advisory Committee for South St. Petersburg CRA to provide both an added layer of transparency and a closer link to the CRA residents in programming and implementation. The City and Pinellas County established a Citizen Advisory Committee, in which I am the Vice Chair, to provide recommendations to the CRA agency on annual budget, policy, and other issues affecting the South St. Petersburg CRA. The CAC is comprised of business and property owners, stakeholders, and residents of the CRA. Now, I would like to stress that the city is developing a TIF transparency program that will ensure residents, stakeholders, and elected officials so that you can see how your TIF dollars are being expended. Lack of transparency is probably why this ill-advised legislation has been proposed. And the city is making strides to facilitate full disclosure of its CRA programs. The bottom line is that the use of public funds requires transparency, and the city's efforts will ensure its residents will have all the information needed to assess the city's CRA. So the City of St. Petersburg City Council serves as the community redevelopment agency, and they are not a board. Transparency is further facilitated by the fact that City Council serves as the CRA agency for its four community redevelopment areas. This ensures that elected officials have the final say in matters of budget and policy for the city's redevelopment program. To fight blight, many communities use their tax increment financing revenue to fund public improvements such as streetscaping, garage construction, recreation parks facilities, and land acquisition, and to attract the private investment in St. Petersburg. So with that being said, I would like to add, on behalf of just representing the Citizens Advisory Committee, I also, too, as the Executive Director of the YMCA, received those CDBG funds. And it's from that I'm asking everyone in the sound of my voice to please stress the importance of these bills and how detrimental they will be to our community. The CDBG funds used for us helped educate and academic improve the academics of our elementary age students. Without lacking any type of supervisory attention, we gave them first quality service. And we could not have done that without the assistance of the CDBG grant. So on behalf of the CAC and the City of St. Petersburg, who asked me to speak today, please stay diligent in helping our city, city council, county commission, and stress the denial of these two house bills. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. We want to urge all residents to call and email their state representatives and senators to express their concerns about these bills. But more strategically, we want to encourage folks to contact Senate President Joe Negron. The Senate President is pragmatic and reasonable, and we believe he will be willing to listen and be receptive to our concerns. He can be reached via the FloridaSenate.gov website, flsenate.gov website, and also at 850-487-5025. Thank you all, and we'll now take any questions you might have. So regarding properties that are within our control, and that's really what I want to speak to, are properties that are within our control. Our Housing Administration, under the direction of our Administrator Mike Dove, has been working very closely with the community and with City Council. There's a number of programs that have been put in place, a residential rehab program that is providing funding, and Councilmember Nurse, I know, could probably speak more to that, that is providing funding to those folks who are having trouble and can't afford to rehab their homes in an effort to try and keep them in their homes and rehab those houses. For those houses that are beyond being rehabbed, we are working at having those houses demoed if necessary, but that is our last straw that we want to take. That's the last thing that we want to do. And I'm going to let Councilmember Nurse speak to the rehab for and rebate program, if you would.
The cheapest affordable housing that's possible is the renovation of existing housing. And so the city has a rehab rebate program that will rebate up to 20% of the cost of the improvements in an existing house. And if somebody's willing to build a new house in the CRA area, we will also provide a $10,000 incentive. We have established a coalition of housing nonprofits that are working together to try to scale this up. The housing department is working with the nonprofits, trying to facilitate getting the vacant lots into the hands of the nonprofits so that they can build affordable housing. We're in the process of updating our land development regulations, which will lower the cost of building affordable housing and allow us to build more of this. And it also creates a natural cap on the size of housing. There's more, but that you give a sense that there's about seven or eight things that we're working on, trying to make sure that when we infill these lots, that we don't push people out. We have requested the county to pass a countywide inclusionary zoning ordinance, which would require that in all projects of more than 20 units, that 20% of them be one of two steps of towards affordable housing. We don't have a yes on that yet, but I do know that we currently have commitments from three of the seven county commissioners to pass this, so we're working on the fourth right now.
I want to say that as far as the amount we've received, and I know I saw Mike Dove here across, yeah. And Mike has the exact number. We can provide it to you. But we've been able to leverage the CDBG funding that we've received, and we're going to hand out that information to you. I want to say it's about $3 million that we've been able to leverage into about 30. The only way that we're going to be able to prevent legislation like this from going through and being approved by whether it's Congress in Washington or the state Senate and House in Tallahassee is if people like this group behind me and hopefully anyone who sees this conference speaks loudly and says that's just not acceptable. That's not who we are as a community, as a state, and as a nation. That we look out for those who are in need, that we take care of those who are in need, and that we recognize that programs like CDBG, like CRA, can have a significant impact to the betterment of a community and help lift that community up. And we've seen that here in St. Petersburg, and we've seen it in other cities. And what's sad is when the actions of one community the entire state gets penalized for the actions of one community, and that's really what we have with the CRA here. Is you have one city that did not handle their funding appropriately, and the legislature is looking to take it out on the entire state. And for those of us who are doing it right, who are investing our money back in the community and seeing real results, we shouldn't be paying the penalty for one community. Enforce it against the one community. Don't penalize the rest of us. Well, we know Senator Nelson is opposed to cuts to CDBG and home. We know Congressman Crist and we know Congresswoman Castor are. We have not heard anything from Senator Rubio or any of the other delegation that's in the Tampa Bay region. I would hope they would follow the lead of the two congressmen and our senator, but we need to hold them all accountable for their votes.
The question is, if the funding goes away, the mayor paint a picture.
if these programs go away, a lot of the funding that then we're passing out lists to all of you. Those projects and projects like them won't happen because we won't have the resources to make those projects happen. And so the efforts that we've been doing here, in particular in the South St. Pete CRA, and the impacts it's having and where we're starting to see results and poverty starting to be reduced at numbers that are higher than the national average, that could get reversed because we don't have these ability to really direct funding to where it's needed the most. Yeah, there's HUD has specific definitions for what is deemed to be affordable housing. Those are the definitions that we operate under in any projects that we're doing, whether it's for CDBG funding, if it's going towards affordable housing or any of those type of projects. Same thing with any projects we're doing within the CRA. We're using federal guidelines. Any other questions? Thank you all so much for coming out today.